Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Today, we're going to be doing an episode, and we're going to be looking at what God says He wants, how we're to be living. God repeatedly says that He wants us to be blameless, spotless, pure, holy. How can we do that? How is that possible when we're born as sinners? We're born as these imperfect people with a body of a weak flesh. How is that possible? What does God really mean? Well, when you've been changed into the new creation, the weak man, the sinner, has been crucified and put to death, removed, replaced with the Spirit of God and the power of the Almighty. Beloved, all things are possible. Father, I thank You for the time today that we can go look at Your Word. Father, it is You who does the work, not us. But You can only do the work if we believe in faith of what You want to do in us. Oh, Father, there's so many people who live a life of weakness, a life of struggle, a life they simply cannot overcome no matter how hard they try, because they have not found power, because their faith is not in what You say, but it's corrupted with lies and deceit. Father, I pray that Your word will convict as we go through, and I pray that people will submit and reject the lies that they've been taught or misunderstandings that they have, and submit to Your truth. I pray this, O God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here, I'm just kind of, as God leads me, I'm just going to go and look at different passages. You know, first, I want to go and look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Some of you may already know what passage I'm going to. It's a passage about the firm foundation of God. Have you heard of the firm foundation of God? Do you remember what the firm foundation of God is? Well, let me tell you what God says is the firm foundation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from iniquity or sin." Do you name the name of the Lord? Do you abstain from sin? Or do you try to abstain or not sin, but then in your weakness you still continue to do so? God's word doesn't say try. It says you abstain. Think about that. He goes on to say in verse 20, "Now in a large house there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor." There's two types of vessels that God says, honorable ones and dishonorable ones. Do you want to be an honorable vessel used by God? Well, in verse 21, he says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of these things," what are the things he's talking about? The ones above, the firm foundation of God, abstain from all iniquity or sin. If you cannot be cleansed of your sin, then you cannot be a vessel of honor. Did you not know the initial prayer of repentance? If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Were you not cleansed from all unrighteousness? Were you not spiritually baptized and crucified with Christ? Did you not know what that meant? Have you not been taught the truth? If anyone cleanses himself of these things, he will then be a vessel of honor. A vessel sanctified, that's past tense, already done, not a process. Not an ongoing process that many churches teach, and they lie. We did an episode on sanctification is an event, not a process. Go listen to the Word of God and let God's Word instruct you. You will then be useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. Until then, you have not been prepared for every good work in the eyes of God. Until that happens, you're still going to be held captive by youthful desires. He gives a command in verse 22, flee from youthful desires. Another command to pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You who are listening, do you know what a pure heart is? Now, I don't want man's definition of a pure heart. Do you know what God's definition is of a pure heart? No? Go listen to the episode that we did on the new heart, part 1 and part 2, that God requires. Listen to the episode that we did, 6 of them, on the new heart, the new spirit. You must understand what it means to have a pure heart. Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5, only those in a pure heart will see God. Not as man defines it, but as God declares. He goes on to say in verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach and patient with wrong, when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God might grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Because there's many people who argue, they wrangle about words. They think they know the truth, but they don't. They have not come to the true knowledge of the truth. They still, in the prayers, that they might come to their senses. They might escape from the snare of the devil. Problem is, they're still being held captive by the devil to do the devil's works or the devil's will. Sin is a work of the devil. Sin is the will of the devil. Do you still struggle with sin? Would God accuse you of still doing the work or the will of the devil? You cannot serve two masters. God can free you from the one, but it will cost you everything. Listen to the episode we did, The Free Gift That Cost You Everything. And Titus. There's going to be many. And they're going to say that they know God. In chapter 1, I want to look at verse 15 and verse 16. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. Not some, but all. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, in the eyes of God, he says, nothing is pure. Both their mind and their conscience are defiled, or their heart is defiled. Nothing is pure. Doesn't matter if they feed the poor. Doesn't matter if they help their neighbor. Until all things are pure, nothing is pure. God does a perfect work, cleansing all sin and all defilement from you. You'll know it when it happens. All your thoughts and desires are instantly transformed. But until it does, verse 16, oh, they will confess to know God. But he says there's a problem. By their deeds they deny him. They're detestable, disobedient, and disqualified for any good deed. Paul knew the truth. Paul said, if anybody wants to be an elder in verse 6, they have to be blameless. The husband of one wife. Having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer of God must be blameless as God's steward. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain. Hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled. It's not just for elders. Even though it points it out here, as we continue to look, we're going to find out this is for everybody. Are you living a blameless life before God? Would he agree with you? Or maybe you aren't. Maybe you're still on the journey. Maybe you're the infant in Christ that hasn't yet fully received power on high from the Almighty. In 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 13, it says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Some of you may be thinking, yes, I do that. Well, let me tell you how God sees that. Verse 14. As obedient children, no longer conforming to the former desires which were yours in ignorance. You no longer conform to them. You no longer do them. But like the Holy One who called you, a command, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Would God say you're an obedient child? Or would he look and examine your life and continue to find former desires of the old man still struggling? Envy, pride, anger, bitterness, jealousy, selfishness, any of those things? Those are desires of the old man. Please don't deceive yourself. If you haven't put it off, it's because there must be something wrong with your faith. Or maybe you haven't been willing to lose everything. God's not going to bless you and give you the full spiritual blessing of the new heart and the new spirit until you're willing to lose everything. Jesus said it many times. Unless a man's willing to lose his life for my sake, he cannot find life. Unless a man is willing to pick up his cross and deny self, he cannot follow after me. Have you counted the cost? Did anybody explain to you the cost? Why would you be concerned about losing everything in the world, relationships, possessions, anything and everything? Can they give you salvation? Do you truly believe in God? Think about that. God pleads with us in his word again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, Beloved, I urge you, I beg you as aliens and strangers, abstain from fleshly desires which wage war against your soul. You would be keeping your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Chapter 3, you want to inherit a blessing? Verse 10 and 11, the one who desires life and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil, must keep his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil. He must do good. Is that you? Are you able to do that? He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. God's ears will attend to their prayer. But the other person says the face of the Lord is against those who are doing evil. Is God's face against you? You may be thinking, oh, but good things happen to me. I know God is for me. Don't be foolish. God will give earthly blessings to both the wicked and the righteous. God's a God of mercy. He is a generous God. But in the end, there will be a day of reckoning and judgment on the last day. Again, when you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, why did Jesus die in his body? Why did Jesus die on the cross and bear our sins on his body on the cross? Chapter 2, verse 24. So that we, being dead to sin, might live to righteousness. Can't do that until you've been spiritually crucified and baptized. Are you living that holy and blameless life? That life of righteousness? It's your purpose. Verse 21, you've been called with this purpose. Since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in the steps of Christ. What are those steps? Verse 22, commit no sin. You're not to have any deceit in your mouth. While being reviled, you don't revile in return. While suffering, you will utter no threats. You will continue to entrust yourself to the Almighty God who judges righteously. Are you able to do that? Then what purpose and what example of a life are you living? Can you not see that if your life does not line up to that, then you are contradicting the Word of God? You continue to call yourself a Christian, then you call God a liar to His face. You trample underfoot the blood of the Son. You refuse to get the power that God wants to give you in the new heart and the new spirit. 1 Peter chapter 4, again, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, another command, arm yourself with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased, stopped from sin. Is that you? So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the desires of men, but for the will of God. Or are you still trying to find that? God wants to give it, but you must come in truth. In 2 Peter, chapter 3. The day of judgment is coming. God just wants people to repent. See, in chapter 3, verse 7, he says, But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Doesn't matter what you say, there's going to be many who confess Jesus as their Lord. There's going to be many who believe, but are you still ungodly? Oh, you might say, but Jesus' blood covers me. I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. He died for my sins. No, don't be deceived. Jesus died for the sins of everybody, the whole world. Not everybody benefits. Oh, but you might say, but I confess Jesus is Lord. Oh, there's going to be many in that day who confess Jesus is Lord. He's going to say, depart from me. I don't know you. Because you still continued with sin. Do you still have sin? Go read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 23. That's the reason why he gives. You still do. You should be very fearful of your eternal soul. Verse 9, back in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants you to come to true repentance, not the false repentance that's being taught in these churches. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? Verse 14, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, another command, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, and blameless. Is that how God's going to find you? Another passage I want to turn over to. James. James chapter 1. In verse 22, he gives a command. He says, become doers of the word and not hearers who deceive themselves. Your faith must be a faith of action, a transformed faith, not by you trying, but by the power of God demonstrated in your life. You must be a doer and not a hearer who deceives themselves. The verse before, in verse 19, it talked about people who still have the anger of man. Do you still have anger in your thoughts? Verse 19, he says, this you know, my beloved brethren, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man cannot and does not work the righteousness of God. It's not some magical cloak, people. You are commanded to work the righteousness of God. But until you get a good heart, you cannot. You struggle at times with the anger of man in your thoughts or in your heart. Tells you what the problem is. Verse 21, therefore, put aside all filthiness. Put aside all that remains of wickedness. He gives an imperative command, in humility, receive the word implanted, which can save your souls. Because in the eyes of God, you have not received the word implanted, which can save your souls. You have not put off all wickedness. You haven't let God do it for you. You didn't come in the right faith. If you did, praise God. Some of you who are listening, I know you have. But I know most of you have not. Do you want to know what pure and undefiled religion is in the sight of God? Verse 27, still in James chapter 1. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. You visit orphans and widows in their distress, and you keep yourself unstained, unblemished by the world. Are you doing that? Then you don't know what pure and undefiled religion is. Maybe you have the religion where sometimes you still struggle at times and to bridle your tongue. Verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, deceives his own heart. Your deception's in your heart. God says your religion is worthless. Are you being convicted yet by God's word? Are you confident that you're going to stand on the day of judgment? Do not listen to man. God is the one who will judge. I want to turn over to 1 John. And how we're to be living. God expects us to be living. It's not about trying. It's whether or not you've received power. 1 John. Chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 3. Everyone who is having this hope fixed on him, referring to Christ, purifies himself just as Christ is pure. Have you been purified just as Christ is pure? Well, let's keep reading. Let's find out the results. There's another group. Everyone who is committing sin commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Are you that person? Do you still have to continue to confess your sins? Verse 5, you know that Jesus appeared in order to take away sin. In him, in Jesus, there is no sin. And you probably agree with that. But here's the bottom line. Verse 6. No one who abides in him, Jesus, sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. If you still struggle with sin, you knowingly want to stop and you can't. You knowingly continue to struggle. Then you're without excuse. Little children, verse 7, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as Jesus is righteous. Do you practice righteousness just as Christ? The one who commits sin is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Has sin been destroyed in your life? Has the old man been put to death and crucified, destroyed? Have you truly been set free from sin by it having been removed from your life so you don't walk in it anymore? Then you don't know what it means to be spiritually crucified. Go listen to the episodes we did about that. No one who has been born of God commits sin. Because God's seed abides in him, he cannot sin because he has been born of God. It's the difference between committing a sin of ignorance and knowingly still struggling with sin that you confess every day and you know what sin it is. You're confessing it. If someone commits a sin of ignorance, God will point that out. If you continue, it's now a knowing, willful sin. God's not going to tolerate that. Do you have power in your life or not? If you're struggling, you have to confess your sins every day. Then you've deceived yourself. 1 John 1:9 is to the person who does not have fellowship with God. Listen to the episode we did on the book of 1 John. You aren't supposed to continue to stay as that person. If you're still staying as that person, you've been deceived. You have no power. I think with that, I'm going to pause here and do this as a couple-part series, because I want to keep these short. So let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, you require us, you call us to be a holy people. You call us to walk and be pure as Christ is pure. to be holy as you are holy, to keep oneself unstained by the world, to be blameless before you, spotless. It's a work that can only be done, O God, when people come in faith to the truth, the true knowledge of God. Not this 95% truth and 5% lie. The devil is so creative to get people to not come into the full blessing of God. Father, convict, and I pray, open people's eyes and let them see. Let them turn to your word and turn away from vain and empty babble and worldly chatter that leads and continues to lead to ungodliness. Thank you, Father, for your word and your faithfulness to your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.